And welcome back to The Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. I'm Amanda Coulson. I'm the director of the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas, and you're listening to 96.9 Guardian Talk Radio. Don't forget you can go to the website www.guardiantalkradio.com, and you can live stream the show, which airs every Wednesday night at 6:30 Eastern Standard Time. So for those of you in the diaspora that listen to the show, hello, and thank you for listening. You can also now go to our nagb.org.bs website after the show has aired on the radio, and you can listen to it again. We're posting now the MP3s. So tonight we are actually taping in Jamaica, in Kingston. We're at a place called Creative Sounds Limited, which apparently has a great history in the, which I know nothing about, in the Jamaican music scene, and is actually right next door to another project space, NLS, which is called New Local Space, run by the artist Deborah Anzinger, who recently did an exhibition at the National Art Gallery. So it all kind of ties together. And I'm sitting here with Verlu Poupai, who's the director of the National Art Gallery of Jamaica, and Chris Cozier, who's an artist from Trinidad, as well as a critic, writer, and founder of the Alice Yard sort of residency program, basically. And we're all here because we're all here to work on the biennial. And before the break, we were talking about what the Yard was kind of about in this project that you have right now with the Bahamian artist Blue Curry, and which is about sort of authorship and collaboration. And I think that's something we all around this table are really interested in. But as a region, I found it sometimes quite challenging. Can you speak to that at all? Like, I don't know Jamaica that well. This is my second time here. I've come for 2 days at a time. but I find at home that sometimes, I think, you know, as we were growing as nations, there was this need to, like, you know, claim territory and cut out your turf and you know, in a real way, in terms of actual landscape and actual land and reclaiming things, but also in terms of, you know, growing in our practices that, you know, this is what I do, this is who I am. And it's been interesting to try to do collaborations and not have people feel like you're trying to cross over into their turf. Mm-hmm. In an aggressive way. So I don't know how that is in Jamaica. How do you find it? Are you able to, like, do partnerships, and or is it a challenge?
Increasingly so. I mean, historically, I mean, what we are about. I mean, and the choice of the institutional name, National Gallery of Jamaica, is not coincidental. You know, it goes with this assertion of a national identity and so on, as has been reiterated endlessly. And it was a very important and necessary process, and that necessity continues to some extent. But there is so much to be gained from working across, particularly the region and beyond. You know, because, for instance, for Jamaica alone, I mean, Jamaica is not just this island, you know, because of the diasporal nature of Jamaican society and continued migration and so on, it has always been a much broader thing. And the same thing with the rest of the Caribbean.
Yeah, we actually have a funny piece right now in the National Exhibition by which was kind of a piece put together by somebody called Ralph John Murray, but it's really a collaborative piece again. And it's stories from the Royal Bahamian Empire, and you know, queer stories from the Royal Bahamian Empire. And we talked about that, and it's like, you know, this idea that Bahamians are everywhere, and the Bahamas isn't just on the island, but it really reaches into all these different countries. And I think it's very much the same with Jamaica and Trinidad.
Well, it's the nature of the Caribbean, you know, and I think it invites networking. It invites, you know, going beyond those boundaries, not being territorial, and also benefiting from the exchanges, you know, because in each context, there is something, there are things that have gone particularly well and so on, and that have a lot of merit. But there's also a lot to be learned, for instance, on a very practical level from what has been done elsewhere. You know, so there are many incentives for networking, many commonalities, surprising differences sometimes also, you know. So, and a lot can be done with that. And for instance, Blue Curry's project in the last biennial was by far one of the most rewarding projects, not only in terms of the impact it had in terms of its presence on the streets of downtown Kingston, but also the process of creating it, you know, because he worked with a fairly large group of young volunteer artists and art students. And it really was a very exciting process, you know, to see that happen, and, you know, to sort of negotiate with people about the use of their building and so on for that, you know. So that in itself, and it was sort of a microcosm of the sort of collaborations that can really yield.
Well, I think one of the problems too is that we're so used to, you know, this idea of being used as countries that, you know, so very often, and when you think of artists and residency programs, it's always about what does it do for the artist, at least when you come, you know, from Europe or the States. It's like, you know, oh, we have to support the artist and the artist needs this. But I feel like we tend to forget what the artist brings. So, Chris, I would ask that from you. Like, how is Alice Yard, in terms of bringing all these different voices and ideas to Trinidad, what kind of effect has that had on the local scene, and what kind of support has that given, as opposed to, you know, the artist have, you know, being inspired by a new location or whatever? What do you think it's done for the actual local community?
Well, I think it's sort of underscored the fact that, you know, Port of Spain is just one location, one city, or, you know, or Trinidad is one sort of location in the Caribbean. I mean, mm-hmm. very often in each territory, we sort of imagine ourselves in a certain way. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, I feel very strongly that a lot of the artists that are working and living in the Caribbean today and the diaspora, it really helps for them to move around the region, because what you kind of have is this out-of-body experience where you see yourself in another location and then you realize, you know, and through that kind of encounter, one's sort of sense of how overwhelming a particular challenge is or how it can be worked out or reconciled becomes alleviated. So a broad cross-section of artists from other islands, from the diaspora, and even international artists who may, when I say international artists, who have no connection to the Caribbean, but may be curious to engage it. When you have a nice flow of people coming from those varying positions, then it means that you are kind of working in a context and somebody comes in and sees it in a different way, or process, materials, vocabularies, you know, both in terms of how they discuss the work or what occurs to them and what you can do with it, really has an impact. The impact sometimes is not immediate, you know, because, you know, very often a person sees something, say, one day, and then 2 years later, it kind of is processed.
Yeah, after it's been sort of digested.
So,
and
yeah, so for us, that longer sustained engagement, it's almost like a lab experiment, you know, where this cross-fertilization, these sort of different sensibilities, ideas, and it's been really fascinating to watch that process. That's why I kind of made the point earlier, we really, to not know
what you are.
Because I think knowing is a kind of territory.
Yeah, yes,
to
it's
not
true.
Know
yeah.
is to really be in a process that's expansive and constantly growing and developing, because the pressure is to know, you know. Mm-hmm. And I'm not denigrating knowledge. I'm just saying that I'm worried about, you know, sort of.
Well, I think it's pigeonholing, isn't it? It's that thing of labels and pigeonholing.
Yeah, yeah,
and once
yeah.
you call something a name,
it's too quick. It's too sudden.
Yeah, then it has to be that thing, and it can't be anything else.
And that is our history. You know, our history is, you know, the way we rationalize ourselves is through territorial behavior. You know, that's colonialism, right? Mm-hmm. And we're a young society.
Yeah, and I think that's very real in institutions, right? Because as an institution, you know, there's a certain level of expectations, and there's a even both of our names, the National Art Gallery.
Exactly.
I mean, these are such colonial names, and really bring up a whole set of issues. You know, I had the most interesting experience the other day. During right after Hurricane Matthew, we had our generator on for 18 days. So a lot of people in the surrounding community were coming to charge their phones, and because we were the only place with power, and there were lots of kids coming with their parents. And so I was saying, you know, come on, let's go inside. And they'd say, well, what's inside? And I'd say, well, you know, nice things. Let's go take a look. And these two little girls came in, and we walked through the doors, and they started looking at all the paintings, and they said, oh, it's a museum. And I thought, oh, that's interesting. They never thought this was a public space. You know, they live right around the corner and they see art gallery every day. And there's, you know, so this thing of language is, again, like you said, very territorial and brings with it a whole set of kind of expectations and then things that you have to live up to a certain degree. And I think Verla and I have had a lot of conversations about being sort of not straitjacketed, but, you know, there's things we'd like to do, but we're not sure if we can as, you know, the national institution And that's why it's so great to have, you know, projects like your own and things like this where we can come and share our professional experiences. So, you know.
And those networking experiences are very liberating in that in that regard. I mean, and also with Alice Yard and so on. I mean, it opens up the institutional boundaries that you've worked within, and I think it really benefits everybody. You know, there's nothing lost in the process, and there's only things to be gained. Mm-hmm. And it's very difficult to sell that idea sometimes, you know, because of
the strong idea of nationalism and
but,
the fear of it being diluted somehow.
Exactly.
And
but the benefits are endless.
Of you having to be something to be seen. You know, so you know, with this, because I mean, the history of territory is the oldest history. That's the history of the Caribbean. Even though, you know, a lot of these countries have become independent or sovereign states in the last 50 years or so, the mechanisms, how does it translate from the older systems of territory? You know, how does and nation not become a modern estate?
Right.
And I think, but there are systems that have always existed by the people who, in a sense, were not part of the power regime, ways in which they had to kind of make sense of the place that they found themselves. And I think that is kind of what has always interested me, you know, and how to find a connection between those of us who lived and operated in that space and the desire to have institutions too.
Yes.
What can we get from those other experiences, which are as old as a territorialism that, you know, in which people had to find ways to survive, to, you know, collaborate, you know, with limited resources, had to invent, you know, because the notion of the institution is more about a kind of receptacle, you know, and the institution is, you know, so it's, so it's a challenge. It's an interesting challenge, you know, between these two parallel traditions. How do they intersect?
And I think that's why we both, you spoke to it yesterday in the meeting when we met all the board of the National Art Gallery Jamaica, of how, you know, you kind of jump at these opportunities to because it's a way to sort of get out of your, and I mean, of course, that's why I did it. I mean, because it's such a, it's a great research project for me too. Yeah, I get to view work by all these artists, many of whom I've never heard of before. As an artist, is there, how does that, is it something that feeds you to come now and spend some time here, or is it just another part of your brain?
It's the only thing. I mean, I mean, my decision to return to the Caribbean was a very sudden one. And when I left the Caribbean as a much younger person, I thought I had escaped. And I mean, that's a trope, you know.
I think for many of us, it's not even interesting in a certain way. It is a trope.
And I never thought I would be back, you know, and because, you know, once you get on that plane, that's it. You've kind of fleed the plantation, the new one, you know, the one with a flag and so on. And a coat of arms. But it's funny, you kind of find yourself, so then what am I part of? And I think, especially with visual culture, I mean, I think when I did come back and I resolved myself that, you know, maybe there's an experiment to be had here, something to learn here. The sense that I wasn't just a Trinidadian, whatever that means, and that I could be potentially a Caribbean person or a hemispheric person, opened a whole new field of possibility that made a lot of the limits, a lot of the arguments seem small, you know, because if somebody doesn't agree with me, you know, let's face it, you know, if you, there's 6 million of us in English-speaking Caribbean, an X amount in the diaspora. So if you live in one enclosure and, you know, there are 1 point something million people there, and maybe there are 10 people that think what you're doing is interesting, and two that are willing to invest, and five thinks the ground should open up and you should vanish. Then if you suddenly move to another place, and if, you know, it increases and decreases proportionately. You know, if in 1 point million has that average, then in 6 million there's that. And then by the time you go to the diaspora, and, you know, cities like Sao Paulo have 20 million, and Mexico City, and, you know, New York, 8, and
Toronto.
It suddenly changes the game. You know, there's more opportunity and more challenges, but more opportunities, and you just keep moving. You know, and I mean, that to me is necessary, and especially for the younger artists now, not to feel that the challenges are beyond them, beyond their capacity. They're actually not. You know, if you, if your perception changes,
And I think this thing of coming back to the Caribbean, you know, a lot has happened because of people coming back, you know, and being challenged, inspired, and so on with that, and especially in contemporary art. So I think that's a very important, that has been a very important dynamic in recent years. You know?
And I think when you talk to many, I mean, I'm one of them, you're one of them, Chris, and then many of my friends are, you know, when you ask, like, would you thought 10 years ago you'd be here, you know, I just would have laughed and said no way, you know, but then there is this desire as you become more professionalized, and you know what the it's something really intriguing. What can I do to go home and bring all this? And I think it is it's very rewarding. Yeah. You know, it's my, you know, people often say like, oh, why don't you do X, Y, Z? And I'm like, you know, I could just go run some Kunsthalle in Germany. It wouldn't be it wouldn't be the same kind of work by any means, and far less rewarding. But I think you said something very interesting, Chris, just now, where you said, you know, if I don't think of myself as a Trinidadian, but I think of myself as a person of the Caribbean, and in a way you are, because you told me you're, you know, you have some heritage from Barbados. And then I discovered that some of my family, or family, I mean, people with the same last name as me, you know, when they left America back in 17 whatever, they ended up in Bermuda. And so, you know, when you start to think about it, and many of our great Bahamians, the first black man to be in parliament was somebody called Dillett, and that's a Haitian name. And I think when you start to look at our communities, we really actually are, you know, we tend to be told like, oh, you're born here on the soil and you're this and that's what you are. But I think actually all of our identities from the region are so complicated and fluid, because so many of us have parents from here or grandparents from there, or maybe 80 years ago started from another island and ended up on this island.
The challenge is how to imagine sovereignty in a non-neocolonial way. What is, you know, what is a sovereign self? What is a sovereign form of, you know, interaction or collaboration? I mean, I think that's like, I mean, and visual culture, I think, is one of the keys, you know, because what visual culture does, it, you know, at its best, is it kind of, you know, sort of imagines the future that you want to make, you know, or it's the future that you're in the process of making or constructing. But it's a, it's open-ended, because it's a sort of like a vocabulary, you know, like a weaving.
Yeah, and I think in a way that's sort of what, to sort of end on where we started, which is what these sort of national exhibitions are in a way. And this is why they're sort of important and challenging, because, you know, the national exhibition is going to be this thing that says, I always really feel like it's sort of a state of the art of where the nation is. You know, we ask the artists to make work about, I mean, ours is unlike yours, where we don't have any pre-invited. So, you know, artists really submit based on the work they're doing right now. And, and then you tease, you see these themes coming out. And I think it's very much that, Chris, what you're speaking to is like sort of how do we identify ourselves as regional or Bahamian? And what does that mean? And those are a lot of questions that you can see in our national exhibition right now. And I think probably you'll also see in the Jamaica.
Well, it's one of the reasons why we moved in terms of the territorial things, why we moved away from the term national biennial to Jamaica biennial. Because Jamaica biennial still signals it's here, you know, but it does not signal anything about the content necessarily. You know, but one thing that I wanted to say in terms of what you said earlier about all these connections that, that people in the Caribbean have, I think, you know, the territorialism in the Caribbean has tended to come from the ruling elites. But the popular culture, for instance, in Jamaica is a very, it's a very cosmopolitan popular culture. I mean, that is what, for instance, Rastafari was all about. It was about a counterpoint to the emerging nationalism in Jamaica, to say we're not from here, we're from elsewhere, and
we
have
just
other,
happen to be here.
We just happen to be here. You know, and I think you know, in a sense, what is happening in the contemporary world sort of replays that in a very interesting kind of way, and creates new possibilities in the process.
Well, you know, we're almost up for time. So unbelievably, we always come in thinking it's going to be very long, and then it goes very quickly. So I think we'll just end it there, if that's okay with you guys, because we've got a minute left and I'm going to do some housekeeping. So I want to thank Verla so much, Verla Pupai, the director of the National Art Gallery of Jamaica, first of all, for inviting us, both Chris and myself, to be part of this process, which has been very rewarding and very interesting, and, you know, a learning experience. And thank you for coming into the studio to do this, because no one ever wants to be on the radio. And same to Chris, because I know he had to be sort of teased to come on. We were like, come on, we'll be nice to you.
No regrets, right?
If I had, you know. Next time, bring coffee.
Exactly. Okay, noted.
Although it's a night program.
It is a night program, but we always tape in the morning, so we're always kind of sleepy.
I'm hearing my grumpy morning self. My God. You know?
Bring a bottle of wine to the morning taping.
Pre-caffeinated morning self. Oh, my God.
So I just want to thank you all. And just, yeah, like I said, a little tiny bit of housekeeping. So right now we do have the National Exhibition on. It's the National Exhibition 8. So NE8 at the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas. That is open Tuesday through Sunday, 10 to 5 every day, except Sunday, noon to 5. And on Sundays, please don't forget, it's free. It's free to all Bahamians and all local residents. So anyone can come. There's no reason not to. The National Exhibition is upstairs. It has over 50 Bahamian artists. It also includes poets as well. And it's a fantastic show. And on the ground floor, we have From Columbus to Junkanoo, which is drawn on the permanent collection. It's telling the story of the country and also the development of art from works from the permanent collection. And we're going to be opening in the PS room a project associated with the NE8 by the artist Jeffrey Maris, entitled AZU 2020, which is a sort of collaborative project that will be on show for 3 weeks. So please do come to the National Art Gallery. We also have our ongoing film series. And there goes my alarm clock, which I forgot to turn off. So check our website, www.nagb.org.bs. You can look at the calendar, see what's upcoming in terms of, there's a lot of talks and events around the National Exhibition and, of course, our film series. So it was great of you to listen tonight. You've been listening to The Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. I'm Amanda Coulson. I'm the director of the National Art Gallery, and you've been listening to 96.9 Guardian Talk Radio.